The Nerdcast Empire is on the air. We are back with another week of podcasting excellence here on the Nerdcast Empire. I am Matt in the studio. Great to have you along with us. It is time once again for the Hard Rock Empire, where we bring you the best in rock and metal. And today we're going to be talking about the music of April the 18th. As, to be honest, it was a little bit thinner of a week in music, but we still got some really great stuff for you. And of course, we will post the playlist for the week a little bit later on so that you can find your choices for April the 18th. And of course, the big topic we're going to talk about today is Sonic Temple coming up next weekend in Columbus, Ohio. And we will have as good a preview as you can possibly put together, considering you've got four stages and a million bands. But we've got some really good stuff to talk about that. And to do that, as always, joining me in studio is Mike. Mike, how's it going?
It's going. Yeah, between the interesting variety of music this week and then my preparation for Sonic Temple, I've been listening to a lot of just out there music, some good, some not so good, but I'll certainly be ready come Thursday for the big festival. Kind of excited about it.
You definitely have a game plan now, and we're going to try to pass some of that game plan on to our listeners, because if you're a fan of this podcast, there's a good chance that your music tastes probably line up to some degree with our music tastes. You'll get an idea of what you should check out and maybe what Mike's not going to be checking out over those 4 days in Columbus. The good news is at least at the moment, the forecast for next weekend weather-wise is looking good, which is good considering it hasn't been necessarily great this weekend.
Sure,
but hopefully that means we're due for some good weather. So if you're headed up, grab the sunblock. But it looks like overall it's going to be a pretty nice weekend, barring another change in the forecast. And we are still a week away. That'll be coming up starting on Thursday, which is a good time for me to remind you. Probably be a little while before we have another podcast, just because of some tennis stuff and some Sonic Temple stuff, but we'll keep you updated. Of course, join the Discord. That's the best way to know when we're going to be streaming. And of course, our social media accounts across all platforms pretty much will also tell you when we're going to be streaming, because we will have a wrap up on the, you know, Sonic Temple coming up the week after that. And then, of course, next weekend, we will not have a Hard Rock Empire, so the following week, we'll bring you another two-for-one week once again. So, a lot of music coming up over the next few weeks, but we're certainly excited to bring it to you here on the Hard Rock Empire. Let's get to the first story, which, of course, is Sonic Temple coming up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's at the Historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. Show starts around noon every day and will go until about 11 p.m. Eastern time. So you've got about 11 hours of music each of the 4 days. There are four stages each of those 4 days. And, you know, there's obviously some overlap between the stages. But, you know, if there, you can map out a pretty decent plan to kind of see what you want to see. And the first topic, I guess, when we kind of get to this first, you know, bullet point, I guess, if you will, on the podcast, is to kind of talk about the big acts, the ones that are headlining or so co-headlining or kind of in that late night time slot that people are going to want to check out. And there's obviously some big names that everybody knows. We've talked a lot about the fact that Metallica is playing two nights, no repeats, two completely different sets, which is really awesome if you're a fan of metal music in general, but obviously of Metallica. There's a lot of really big bands that are going to be playing those late night spots, and that's what we want to focus on first. So I know you've obviously got your eye on a few of those big time headliners. When you look at that lineup Thursday through Sunday, what really jumps out as far as the main acts that people are going to want to see?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag. I think for me, the big days are going to be Friday and Sunday, of course. You look at Thursday, I certainly wouldn't mind crossing Korn off the list of bands I've seen live. They're not one I would necessarily go out there and seek out necessarily, but you know, if I get the opportunity, I'd certainly jump on that. Motionless and White's a band I've not really paid much attention to, but I know they're kind of a big deal. I'm more aware of them from wrestling than anything. So you have them and Killswitch Engage, which I think I'd certainly like to see Killswitch Engage. I think they play at the same time, so that may be a trick. But Bad Omens is another band that people talk about that I've not really gotten into up to this point. And kind of as far as big rock bands kind of from that last generation, like the aughts or whatever they call the 2000s. 3 Days Grace is certainly up there as a band I wouldn't mind seeing as well. To me, Friday's kind of the first must-see day, because you have bands that I love and bands that I've not seen that I need to see, like Metallica, Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper. Really, that whole main stage on Friday is pretty much, I'm going to be parked there, I think, because you have Metallica, Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, Testament, Exodus, and Overkill. Now, if I have the time and can actually step away from that stage, you know, I certainly wouldn't mind catching Mastodon. I've not seen them as well. That's really as far as that goes. I mean, Suicidal Tendencies is another one, if you count them as kind of a major band at this point. They've been around forever, but they're on the second stage, kind of halfway down. Moving on to Saturday, I'm not a huge Linkin Park fan, and it's not really Linkin Park anymore.
Sure.
I mean, if you want to look at it that way. So again, would it be cool to say I saw them? Sure. I'm not going to like jump through hoops in order to do it. Beyond that, Incubus, I wouldn't mind seeing them. Really the first band that's on the main stage of Saturday that I really, really want to see is Trivium.
Yeah. There,
as far as modern metal bands, modern in the last 20, 25 years goes, at least, definitely a band I enjoy. On the second stage, you got Bullet for My Valentine. They're another band I would like to see as well. Those are really kind of the major acts that jump out on me on Saturday. And then on Friday, you got Metallica again, no repeats. So it'll be a brand new set. Alice in Chains is another band that, similar story to Linkin Park, but I think people have embraced the singer of Alice in Chains much, much better than what with Linkin Park, and they're a band I certainly want to see. Ice Nine Kills is another band that I feel like people talk about that I've not really gotten into, so I wouldn't mind checking them out. But yeah, that's really it for the main stage, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, those are certainly bands that you've covered that I think would be on my list as well. And obviously, you know, I won't get up there till Saturday and Sunday, so it definitely limits, you know, what you can see. And of those main stages, like would I see Hoobastank? Probably. Like,
sure, why not?
They have one or two songs that I know. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I think there are a lot of bands you could put in that category. If you just look across the weekend, it's like, would I turn away from seeing Alien Ant Farm? No, why not? You know, they're fine. Orgy, I've seen them once before, oddly enough. Yeah, Hoobastank. Further down, you got Trust Company, yeah. Crossfade. Just bands that you never really thought you would have the opportunity to see necessarily. And since they're on this giant festival, why not check them out if you have a moment?
And Sunday, kind of the same way. You got Chevelle coming in at 3:20. Again, not necessarily a band I would go see. And nothing against them. I mean, if you're a fan of Chevelle, like, that's really awesome. But, you know, maybe not my favorite band of that era, but would I go see them in this concert venue like this? Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
You know, there's some other ones on the list as well, but, you know, Alice in Chains and Metallica, obviously, on Sunday, really the two big ones. Ice Nine Kills would certainly be good. But again, the beauty of a festival is that you will, because you're there, end up seeing some bands, you know, on those main couple stages that maybe you wouldn't have thought, oh, I need to see these guys. And,
yeah.
And I know you mentioned from your previous trip to Rock on the Range back when it was such a thing, that there were several bands then that it was like, you know, yeah, I maybe wouldn't have bought a ticket to go see these guys or gals in a venue, but having seen them because I was there, it turned out to be a really great show.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at that. You look at the few times that Megadeth has done kind of their smaller, like, Gigantor festival. There are bands that I still love to this day that I got acquainted with because of that, really, including Dream Theater, Symphony X, you know, a lot of really cool bands that I may not have taken the time to look into had I not actually thought about checking them out preceding a big concert like this.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to see bands. And I posted a link, a Facebook link, in both chats that goes to the page. It has the set times because they have them listed per stage. It's a little weird to me, and maybe it shouldn't be, that there isn't more stagger between the four stages to some degree. I can only assume that there's part of it is they don't want people like coming in halfway through a concert that they've, I don't know if certain bands might find that distracting or something like that. They want your concert audience to be there from the beginning. Because you would think they would be able somehow to stagger the start times, even by a half hour each across the stages, so that you could, in theory, like if I really wanted to see something on stage four and when it gets done, it's like, oh, well, this one on stage two is only half hour, 45 minutes in, I can swing on over there and catch that. But like I said, there's probably a good, those people have been doing this kind of stuff forever, so I'm sure there's a good reason for it. That's the main bands. And again, that, you know, you could go to a venue like this, a concert like this, and just see main stage acts the whole weekend, and you'd have a great time. There's a lot of great music there. But, you know, because it is a 4-day event, and because there will be main stage bands and maybe you're not crazy about, you've got your smaller stages. And to your credit, you had already started this before I had even mentioned anything about it, and then have kind of continued it for this podcast. You've gone through a great majority of these smaller bands, at least to just kind of get a flavor of what they're bringing to the table. And again, you know, just like we talk about on this podcast, sometimes we listen to a track off of a playlist, and maybe the rest of the album's a little bit different. So, you know, we're not necessarily, as we talk about these, making a blanket statement about a band's entire catalog. That's not possible. But you kind of wanted to find a way to figure out if it was something like, hey, that might be something cool to drop in on, or maybe I shouldn't drop in on that one. What kind of jumped out at you as you look through those small bands? Because that's going to make up a lot of the time in between those big shows on the big stages.
Yeah, and it's weird because I kind of look at the stage three and four as like the smaller acts, but in some instances, there are actually some pretty big bands that are playing on those stages.
For sure.
But I still kind of end up lumping them together because that's going to be kind of the thing I'm doing when I'm not looking at the main stage.
Yeah.
But kind of going into Thursday, and what my process was around this is I was just taking every band one at a time and looking them up and kind of seeing what their most recent release was and just giving it a listen. And one of the first bands I stumbled into from Thursday is a band called Silly Goose. They're an Atlanta based rap rock band. Their most recent EP, Bad Behavior. It's one of those things that I was never into that style of metal back in the day. If this band had released this EP in 1998, I probably would have hated it, but honestly, it's fun. It's stupid, but you know, it probably would make for a pretty cool live experience, so they might be worth checking out.
Yeah.
They have another band, Uncured, on Thursday from New Jersey. They are a new metalcore band, as they put it. Their most recent album, Warpath, came out back in February. Didn't really stand out to me during our weekly listens when I came across it, but it's, you know, it's not bad. They do have a cover of the classic Nine Inch Nails song Closer, which is actually a pretty solid cover. More so than another band from Thursday, the band Dead, D-E-D. Their stuff wasn't bad either. They're another new metal band, these guys from Arizona. But they did have this cover of The Cure's Love Song, which, classic song, and nothing against these guys or Maria Brank, who guests on it, but I feel like that cover just sucked all the emotion out of Love Song. I don't know if it needed to be a new metal or modern metal. I don't know if there needed to be that kind of take on it.
Gotcha.
But still, they could be worth checking out. Finally, on Thursday, there's a UK-based post-hardcore band, Caskets. They used to be called Captives. I don't know what happened at that point, but
not good.
Yeah, didn't go well for them. I checked out their 2023 album, Reflections. Band's been around since 2018, so they're not super long into the journey, but pretty cool. Probably worth checking out.
Yeah, so you got some ideas of some smaller stage acts, and like Mike said, not always smaller acts, but acts that just kind of a little farther down the bill for Thursday.
Yeah, and on Friday, that's kind of where that really, really stands out, because the three bands that I kind of marked as far as bands I want to see aren't small bands. Like, they may be on stages three and four, but these guys are all established acts. The first one being the Black Dahlia Murder. They've been around since 2001. I've been aware of them for a while, but for a long time during their career, I wouldn't have really been interested in a death metal band, so I probably would have overlooked them. But, you know, I've been checking out some of their stuff more recently, and I think that could be pretty cool to see live. Two other big hitters, in my opinion, one of which being Armored Saint, legendary metal band. John Bush, one of the founding members and the lead singer. He's great. He was great in Anthrax, and I was listening to their most recent work, and it's really good, too, so I definitely want to check them out. And finally, Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah.
another just classic Bay Area band, kind of that thrash meets rap kind of thing going on. But also worth noting that Jay Weinberg's currently their drummer after his issues with, I think, Slipknot was it he got kicked out of. But either way, kind of noteworthy.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's great to see those guys still going strong, and they're on stage too. So a little higher up on the bill than maybe some of the other ones. But yeah, some at least names that you've heard of.
Oh, yeah, they're on stage too. I misread that.
Which is obviously, you know, that's anytime you get acts on those lower stages that are bands you've heard of, it at least gives you something you can look forward to.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to Saturday, we got kind of like the attack of early 2000s Victory and like emo, screamo, post-hardcore bands. Got Devil Wears Prada, band from Dayton, Ohio. They've been around since 2005. Probably worth checking out. Then Silverstein, Canadian post-hardcore emo band. One of the more memorable like Victory bands from that label from the early 2000s. And finally, Under Oath, who's a Florida-based metalcore screamo band from also that same period. So it's kind of like they picked a theme and kind of ran with it for that fourth stage on Saturday. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, the Earth's first two bands on that stage, maybe not bands I'd necessarily want to see, but I do love the names of both of them. I Set My Friends on Fire to open that one.
Yeah.
And Scary Kids Scaring Kids.
Great like, names. Great
those
names.
Are great names. I don't know if they might have just stopped at the name and that might have been good. But
yeah, I can't argue with the name at all.
For sure.
And then on Sunday, we got Power Trip, Texas-based thrash band. Their album Nightmare Logic seemed like a pretty big deal when it came out a few years back. They had a song Executioner's Tax, Swing of the Axe, that was used as a theme for an NXT pay-per-view, if I remember correctly. Cool song, cool sound. Definitely want to check them out. And then on the third stage, you got the band Obituary, who's just classic death metal band from the 80s. And, you know, anytime you have a chance to see a band that's been doing it that long, and you know, compared to some of the other options, this is definitely one that stands out on Sunday.
And of course, worth mentioning Gwar is on that third stage as well, which obviously
I've seen them several times. So, yes, you know,
but I mean, certainly if maybe somebody hasn't seen them, like this is an opportunity to see them in a festival setting, which like you said the other day, maybe not the same experience as seeing them in a small theater type setting, but still worth seeing if you haven't seen
them. And that's where the scheduling starts becoming a challenge too, because they are kind of running at the same time as Alice in Chains. It's like,
you've seen Gwar many, many times.
I've seen Gwar many, many times. They tour constantly. This fall, you'll probably be able to see them at Bogart's or, you know, Newport Music Hall or something. So it's like, given just how easy it is to catch Gwar live, I would tend to think I'm going to watch Alice in Chains, but either one's a good option.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go wrong either way there. And of course, Metallica closes out that Sunday night on the big stage. But lots of really great stuff. Looking forward to it. It's my first trip up to the event, which, like I said, you know, changed names many years ago to Sonic Temple. Still a great festival of music. So tickets are still available. Go to Sonic Temple's website. You can get your tickets. Also, if you're in this area, probably anywhere in Ohio, I would guess, I would tune into whatever your local rock station is. There's a good chance they're going to be giving tickets away all week. I saw one of the local TV stations in Cincinnati was doing ticket giveaways for it. So you can almost bet that if you're in a 3 to 4 hour driving range of this concert weekend, this festival, you're going to be able to possibly win tickets as well. So
it begs the question, because obviously Columbus is certainly within driving distance for us, but we're kind of a little more local to the Cincinnati area. Why can't we get a festival to that level? I mean, we have like the Bunbury, but I tend to recall it being pretty awful every year. Where's our really cool rock festival?
I wonder sometimes if, because this got established in Columbus, it's because you also have some really big shows in Louisville, which is right down the road the other direction, Louder Than Life. And wasn't there another one in Louisville too? Something over Louisville, or
I can't remember now.
I feel like there's a second one as well that has a decent venue. And then, of course, you know, we're not very far from Chicago, which of course gets all the big acts. So it almost feels like we're just in a bad spot, that like there's other big cities that get these big festivals and we just kind of miss out on them.
And a little farther away, but there is also the one in Mansfield, the Incarceration Festival too.
For sure. So A lot of great music festivals coming up. Definitely check them out. If you're not local to Ohio, maybe none of this really matters to you, but there's a good chance a lot of the bands Mike mentioned are probably going to be doing festival tours. So if you have a big music festival nearby,
I mean, the company that runs Sonic Temple tends to run a lot of events. So chances are you're going to see some overlap with the festival season this year.
For sure. So definitely see which of those bands might be coming to your area if you're not local to us. One other quick news story. Obviously, we spend a little more time on news than we typically do, but I do want to get to one kind of newsy news story, and it's another one that's kind of timely because of what we just talked about. Metallica has announced a Load Deluxe box featuring previously unreleased material. It'll come out on June 13th from the band's Blackened Recordings label. Obviously we're both big fans of Load. I believe you said you have picked up a version of this release or a pre-order.
I did pre-buy one of them. Yes.
But obviously, it also sounds like one of those things that you can go nuts and spend a crap ton of money on as well.
Yeah.
Like one of the, I can't remember what the price tag on that, like fancy edition, but, it's, $275, in fact, and no discounts, as they note. But there's other really cool packs with this. If you don't want to get the super fancy one, like, you know, you found a really good deal as well that you can, you know, kind of get in on this without buying everything.
Yeah, I mean, the one I ultimately went with was just the expanded 3-CD edition. It was $25. Contains the new remastered album, previously unreleased demos, live tracks from the world tour that was around that same time. It's also, I think, no matter what version you buy, I think, if I remember correctly, you are getting kind of the full edition of the song The Outlaw Torn, which was condensed because CDs could only handle so much data back in 1995 or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. The version I got, like I mentioned, being $25 seemed totally reasonable. That being said, if you wanted to go with the deluxe version, it's $275, but what they're giving you, I mean, if it's ever going to be worth it, I feel like they're giving you as much as humanly possible. You're getting the remastered version of the album, obviously double LP and CD version, the Mama Said picture disc, 3 live LPs, 15 CDs,
wow,
4 DVDs featuring unreleased content, live shows, rough mixes, demos, etc. MP3 download card of all the audio that you're getting, 2 tour laminates, an 11 by 17 Lollapalooza poster, a Pusshead patch, 8 by 10 Rolling Stone magazine cover print, a 5 pack of guitar/bass picks, a pack of 14 Rorschach test cards.
Okay. Seem
kind of out there, but whatever. Lyric folder and sheets, and a 128 page hardcover book with never before seen photos and stories from those who were there. So, I mean, if you think about just 3 LPs, and I assume that's additional, not even counting the double LP for the album, 15 CDs, $275 already probably sounds about right. But yeah, then with the bonuses you're getting, it's, if you're like a serious fan, this is probably not insane.
Yeah, I honestly agree. I feel like of all these like special deals that we've seen, these platinum releases or whatever they are, where they just throw a bunch of stuff in there, this feels like a really good value if you're a diehard fan. I have a feeling they're going to sell a ton of these. I would guess, I don't know this for sure, I didn't check the article, I probably should have. There could be a cap on how many of those they're giving away too. So if you are wanting one of those $275 deluxe editions, you probably should get on that.
I mean, they do refer to it as a limited edition, so I assume that is the case, but yeah. I don't know what that limit is.
Right. I guess it's however many they can produce and how, depending on the demand of it. But if you want that, I would jump on it early. Otherwise, like a lot of other great versions, you can get the cassette for $15. I wouldn't
have wanted it on cassette when it first came out.
No. And you can buy the Live Laugh Load pillow, which is my favorite.
That is actually kind of cool.
I don't understand. Like, I'm like, is this real? Like, it sure is.
Looks like for pre-buying it, I did receive a download for the Until It Sleeps remastered MP3.
Oh, so okay.
I can check that out later.
Nice. So good stuff there. And like Mike said, I think this is actually a really good deal. So if you're a fan of the band, maybe before you head up to Sonic Temple this weekend, you can go ahead and get your pre-order in on this. A reminder, check out our website, nerdcastempire.com. You can listen to our old podcasts, all our episodes of the Hard Rock Empire, and all of our podcasts, including our news podcast. Just a reminder, we're going to have a short hiatus over the next week or so. Just life kind of getting in the way. But we will be back. It should be after Sonic Temple. We'll do a review of Sonic Temple. And then, of course, the following weekend after Sonic Temple, we'll have two episodes of the Hard Rock Empire to get you all caught up on the best rock and metal. April 25th will be the next date we review. And then we'll be getting into the month of May. So,
wow.
It is kind of crazy how quickly the year is going. Already a third of the way home. So great stuff, though. Check us out. Again, join the Discord. Check us out on social media. We'll keep you updated on when and where we will be streaming. But it is time to get to the new music. And we are talking the music of April the 18th. And I go through the same spiel. I go through every episode for this. Of course, Mike goes through and puts together a list and pulls some lists together of all the new releases for a given date. In this case, it is April the 18th. He puts together a YouTube playlist that has at least one track off of all the ones he can find. And then we take a look at that playlist, and that playlist is getting pasted into the chats right now. And we pick two new releases each that we will spotlight on the podcast each and every week. And as we've mentioned in the open, maybe not the strongest week as far as depth of music. There was a lot of good stuff, but maybe not to the level of some of the previous weeks. But that happens from time to time. Having said that, we were able to find four really good albums that we can talk about on the podcast this week and pitch to you. So one last thing, if you're listening on the best, always like I say, the best way to hear the tracks, we always play clips of the albums. The best way to hear that is to be here live. The next best way is to catch the Twitch VOD or the YouTube VOD. Most of the time, the songs get through there. The worst way, I guess, is to listen to the podcast version wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate you listening there, but it will not have the audio clips of the songs. Now, with all that said, it's time to get to the new music, the music of April the 18th. Mike, you're going to kick us off as always. What do you have for us this week?
Yeah, I want to mention that weeks like this are always interesting because it's not so much that the music quality isn't there. All this stuff is fine. It's just some weeks there are the obvious things like, oh, this is made clearly with me in mind. I'm picking this.
Yeah.
And not every week is like that. Some weeks there are things that kind of make you broaden your scope a bit. Like, this isn't something I'd normally go after, but I'm glad I did, because then once I get into it, I realize this is something I really like.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's not all European power metal, apparently, which, you know, whatever.
It's okay every once in a while to switch it up.
Yeah, for sure. So going into the music this week, as I was pulling the tracks, I ran into one that just the second I saw the name of it, I'm like, man, I really hope I like this, because the name of it is tremendous. This is the latest release from the thrash metal band from Northern Ireland. They are Gamma Bomb, and this is Necronomicon Automaton.
Yeah, I was glad this ended up being good, because I would have been disappointed if, and every week there's always a handful of album titles that make our list of kind of unique titles, but they don't always make our list of the best new releases. But it was encouraging to hear that this actually turned out to be good as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a 4-track EP. It is the most recent bit of music from these guys since their single from 2024, A Coffin for Christmas. The band is made up of John J.R. Roche on guitars, Joe McGuigan on bass, Chris Williams on drums, Domo Dixon on guitars, and Philly Byrne on vocals. Metal Archives describes their themes as pop culture, movies, humor, horror, society. Wikipedia states their influences as 80s thrash bands like Nuclear Assault, Creator, Agent Steel, Sodom, Old Slayer, and early Megadeth. Seems pretty spot on to me. Don't let some of their song titles over the years deter you from checking them out, because they certainly have real thrash metal chops heard on such tracks as Beverly Hills Robocop, Smoke the Blow with Willem Dafoe, Shitting Yourself to Live, Kurt Russell, She's Not My Mother, Todd, and Ready Steady Goat.
Wow.
The band also has a mascot, a Yeti of sorts, introduced back in 2018, Snowy the Gamma Bominimal Snowman, or something to that effect. He's made appearances on album art, merchandise, and even part of their stage show. I think every good metal band really needs a mascot, so I'm pretty excited that they've incorporated one since 2018. I mean, this is just really fun not super serious thrash metal. I checked out some of their older stuff mainly because of the song titles, and it's just, it's really enjoyable. It's four tracks. It doesn't take very long to get through. I think everyone needs to go out and check it out right now. The track that I picked to listen to is the first track on the EP. It is called Nunchucks.
Yeah, this is one of those bands that just, again, we've talked about it, and try not to beat up Sonic Temple too much, but you just feel like bands like this should be at Sonic Temple. There should be a spot, especially this feels like a band that you'd want to start the day off with to bring that energy level and get the crowd going very early on. And, you know, for whatever reason, these types of bands just don't, they don't get looks from these big festivals, but this is just fun music, and it's great that there are bands out there making it.
And I don't know if it's totally all on them, because I know fairly early into the process, they do take suggestions from people. And I assume if a band warrants enough and garners enough attention to the festival, they'll actually reach out and try to book them. And also, anytime you're talking about a band that's not from the United States, you just kind of wonder about the logistics of it,
especially right now.
Yeah, kind of looking at the listing as I've been demoing a lot of them, there are a lot of American bands, obviously, and there were a few that had to pull out, presumably because of travel issues. But yeah, this is a band I would love to see live. I think they have everything you want as far as just heavy, but not unmelodically heavy. I think that's important. And clearly they're a band with a mascot, so they know how to put on a stage show. So yeah, I'm excited to listen to more of these guys. This EP definitely didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And what we've got to hear on the podcast, certainly really good stuff as well. So check out Gamma Bomb and their EP out on April the 18th. As always, you have two picks each and every week. What do you have for pick number two?
Yeah, so for pick number two, I am looking at the first full-length album from a progressive groove metal band. They are from Poland. They are signed to Wormhole Death Records. They are Wind Down, and the album is The Burning Past.
Yeah, definitely a different set of like bands that we're going after this week. That's a different kind of description, but definitely interested in hearing what these guys sound like.
Yeah, you know, you don't run into a lot of groove metal bands that also add the progressiveness to them, so that's really a kind of a cool thing. These guys were formed back in 2021 in Poland. They're like I mentioned, this is their debut album. They had released an EP which garnered some attention. They toured extensively on it and clearly got the attention of Wormhole Death, who signed them up. Band is made up of Tomasz Wisniewski on vocals, Wojciech Wojtaczek on guitars, Marcin Barula on guitars, Franciszek Tribus on bass, and Damian Jurek on drums. I am not good with Polish names, so doing my best here. Interesting for a Polish metal band. This album is a concept album inspired by Native American Indian culture, shamanic rituals, and the cosmic connection between human souls and extraterrestrial energy.
Okay.
So coming out the gates with definitely some high concept stuff here, which is pretty cool. According to their bio on, or the press release on Wormhole Death's website, they draw inspiration from some of the heavy hitters in metal, including Nevermore, Alter Bridge, and Dream Theater. But they've definitely found a sound all their own. The first album on the song Falling Down comes out of the gates really heavy. But by track three, you kind of hear more of like the Nevermore meets Dream Theater inspirations as you get a cleaner vocal style, and kind of that guitar tone just makes you think Nevermore. It's another band who they've created a solid first full length album. So I'm kind of interested to see where their sound evolves as they move on through their careers and how it grows. Standout tracks on the album include Falling Down, Connection Point, I Have to Run, The Burning Past, and the track that I picked to listen to, I Don't Need You.
Yeah, I definitely hear the comparisons that you mentioned, but they got a great sound. I mean, vocals are great. The music definitely is unique and kind of fun. I definitely like to get a chance to listen a little more of this album.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of drew me to it, because kind of knowing that I was going to be picking some stuff that was off the beaten path, this felt unique in a cool way, and I definitely wanted to get more acquainted with it and kind of see where they go from there.
Yeah, really good stuff. Definitely check those guys out. Wind Down. I assume it's Wind Down and not Wind Down.
I'm not even sure, to be honest.
But either way,
Wind Down certainly makes more sense. But
that, being not an English band,
you never know.
It's certainly possible they intended that to be Wind. But either way, check those guys out. Their new album on April the 18th. I have two picks as well. We're going to jump right into the progressive end of the pool here. But we're going to be staying in the U.S. for my two picks this week, which is a little rare for my music choices. But we're going to start off with a progressive metal band from Chicago, Illinois, formed in 2007. This is Empyrean Sanctum with the album Detachment from Reality. This is as I get my everything caught up so I don't get behind here on everything else. This is only their second album, though, which is kind of crazy. I mentioned they started in 2007. That is their first since the 2013 self-titled album. This is a concept album about emotional and mental inner struggles. If you're a fan of prog metal, this is going to be right up your alley. This is prog to the core, and it's really, really good. The band is Albert Reibke on lead and backing vocals, Justin Kellerman on guitar, orchestration, programming, and backing vocals. Alex Weber, formerly of Revocation, Exist, and Obscura on bass. Hannes Grossman, who's been with Triptychon, who we've talked about before in the past, he was on drums. And then some guest musicians, Per Nilsson of Scar Symmetry and Ex Meshuggah did a guest solo. Gabriel Riccio from the Gabriel Construct did guest vocals on Lifeless Death. Zach Libby did harsh vocals on tracks 1 and 6, and Jennifer Benson backing vocals on tracks 5, 6, and 9. So brought in quite the crew, which is typical of the progressive metal sphere. You try to bring in a lot of different artists. And as I've talked about before, you can always kind of tell from track count and length of album. This is 9 tracks. And it is just over an hour long compared to my next pick, which is 10 tracks and 31 minutes. So definitely a little more of a proggy feel to this one. But I really enjoyed this. They've got a great sound. And this is just a very polished album. If that's the reason why it has taken them so long to kind of get that next album out, they really want to release something good. Mission accomplished here. Standout tracks include Heart of Gold, Transparency, Detachment from Reality, and the song we're going to listen to on the podcast is Descent. YouTube Music, they're having a little hiccup, but otherwise, you can hear the sound very proggy. If you're a fan of, bands like Dream Theater, odds are you're going to really enjoy this new album. Mike, your thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, I'm anxious to listen to the whole thing now, especially knowing that Per Nilsson is involved with it in some degree, even if it's just one solo. His work's always amazing. Scar Symmetry is a great band. So if this kind of feels like it could be a full, clean vocal version to some degree, or at least in that similar vein, and that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
Yeah, it's like I said, really good album, and sometimes those prog type albums drag on a bit and I kind of get bored with them. That didn't happen with this album. So that was kind of why it was a pretty obvious pick to me, but definitely check those guys out. Empyrean Sanctum, their new album release out on April the 18th. I have two picks. And as I mentioned, this one, not progressive, but really good. This is an alternative rock band from Doylestown, Pennsylvania, formed in 2008. This is Super Heaven with their self-titled album, Super Heaven. These guys got to start under a different name. They were originally Daylight back in 2008. They kept that name from 2008 to 2014 before changing their name to Super Heaven after a legal dispute with a Spanish band of the same name. Which is weird because I feel like we do this podcast and we come across certain bands where there's like 8 different bands out there running under the same name. But evidently Daylight was unique enough that they went after them or something. But Super Heaven's still a really good name. This is their third full length album and the second one under the Super Heaven name. The band is Taylor Madison on lead vocals and guitars, Jake Clark on lead vocals and guitars, Joe Kane on bass, and Zach Robbins on drums and backing vocals. This is definitely an album that would have felt very much in place in the late 90s and early 2000s. It definitely has a grunge feel to it. At times, it is a little bit sludgy. Thankfully, not too much so. There is a limit on sludge as far as rock goes, where I feel like it gets kind of inaccessible that it's so sludgy toward that shoegaze type vibe. This doesn't feel like it goes too far that direction, but there are some tracks that are definitely sludgier than others. Wikipedia compares them to Deftones, Local H, and Chevelle, which, funny, we just talked about Chevelle. I can see some comparisons there. There are definitely some similarities. And the thing is, this is a really easy listen. It's 30 minutes long. You really just can kind of blow through this thing really quickly. But at the same time, it's really well put together. The tracks feel like they flow together really well. There's definitely a connection from the first track to the last track. And these guys really did a great job. They've got a great sound and feels, again, very polished. And it was a really enjoyable listen. And I definitely encourage you to check it out. Tracks to check out include Humans for Toys, Numb to What Is Real, Long Gone. And the song we're going to listen to on the podcast is Cruel Times. Definitely one of those albums that's a little bit different of a vibe than one that I would typically pick. But like I said, I really enjoyed it. It's definitely different. And like you said, sometimes, you know, when you have a week where there's not those obvious choices that just hit you over the head, it gives you a chance to really kind of look into some other bands and styles that maybe you overlook a lot of weeks because there's things that are really obvious. And these guys were one of them. And like I said, I really, really enjoyed this album. Mike, your thoughts on Super Heaven?
Yeah, this was a band that caught my attention that I did listen to some of the album too. Definitely kind of has that like late 90s, early 2000s post grunge era sound to it, which is not a bad thing. I think it was overplayed for a while, but we've long since gotten past that time. So when you hear it now, it's kind of fresh again. It's good stuff.
Yeah, like I said, definitely enjoyed it and definitely a different vibe. And like I said, that was something that this week was kind of easy for both of us to kind of dig into some stuff that was a little bit different. And overall, definitely found some cool stuff out there. And again, check out the playlist because there's a lot of really cool stuff out there this week. Just maybe not necessarily the ones that are typically in our wheelhouse, but Chris is on board. He likes some Super Heaven, so definitely check those guys out with their self-titled album. Time to get into the vault, where Mike and I will give you classic albums that you need to check out. Mike is into his vault, literally, and we are rolling through the alphabet once again with quite a bit of speed. We are 10 weeks or 10 letters back into the alphabet once again, up to the letter J. And again, some great options for the letter J, I'm sure. But what do you have for us this week?
Yeah, you know, going through the collection and looking at the letter J, it is kind of lighter compared to some of the other letters. I was kind of amazed looking back that I don't own any actual Journey albums. I just have like a greatest hits of theirs. I don't own any of the real CDs, you know, of the album releases. So I did see on Amazon you could get the first five albums in a box set for like $20. So I might have jumped on that.
As you should. Like, that's a great deal. That's a steal.
They're those bands that I know kind of by their greatest hits, and I've slowly been trying to amass their actual albums just to kind of get a feel for what their whole catalog sounds like, because it's easy to listen to Journey's greatest hits and think, man, this is the greatest rock band of all time. But it's not really fair when you're comparing it to, you know, annual or every 2 year releases by modern bands. You're not really getting that greatest hits treatment. But going through my catalog, one band that I have not picked as of yet is the band Jagdpanzer. And of their albums, I am looking at their third studio album. Came out in 1997. It is called The Fourth Judgment.
Jagdpanzer is one of those groups that I feel like I should know more about because I feel like we talk about them a lot, but for whatever reason, they've just always kind of flown under the radar as far as albums I've listened to. I do know these guys are good. It's just one of those bands that just haven't been able to get into their stuff. And this could be an opportunity to jump in at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. For as long of a career they've had, I'm really only familiar right now with this album and then their most recent one back from 2023. They're a Colorado-based power metal band. This album marks the return of the vocalist and co-founder Harry Conklin and guitarist Joey Tafola. You know, Harry Conklin, that name kind of stuck out to me even beyond Jagdpanzer, and I was trying to remember why. Looking at the metal archives, I was reminded that he actually did the vocals on the Clovenhoof album from last year, Heathen Cross, which was a great album. Back to this album, this saw them kind of return to a more power metal sound. As according to Wikipedia, the prior release, 1994's Dissident Alliance, implied more of a groove metal approach, like that of Pantera, who obviously were huge at that point in time. And, you know, 1990s, you saw a lot of metal bands kind of tinkering with their sound, kind of changing things up. Obviously, we had Metallica with Load, Reload, ultimately Saint Anger in 2003. You know, you had Slayer kind of feeling more like a new metal band at points. So kind of cool to see this band tried it and just immediately jump back in 1997 to more of a power metal sound, because they they nail it. I remember buying this album a few years back, either from like a Half Price Books or an FYE back when those things existed in much more frequency than they do now. I'd heard the song Shadow Thief, believe on Pandora. I can't remember what the station was. It was either something based on Sentenced or Hammerfall, but I believe it was at the old karate studio listening to that same Pandora stations over and over again. But those are good times. This album's a solid metal release. It's not super over the top power metal. Conklin can do the power metal vocals, but musically it just kind of feels like metal, which is not a bad thing either. The album does kind of have that obligatory song on it that I think a lot of bands did. And I kind of want to go back now and try to come up with a compilation of these kind of songs. And it happened a lot in the mid to late 90s where a band would write a song about kind of being afraid of the future and the digital age and things of that nature. In this case, it comes in the form of the song Future Shock, which is a good song. I just feel like there's a compilation to be made of those, like, ooh, beware the future, or, you know, the information age, digital, whatever is going to come and destroy our lives. But yeah, that's something I'll have to look into at some point. Also worth noting about Jagdpanzer, in 2005, they released an amazing cover of The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Chris Broderick was actually in the band at that point in time, too, and everyone should check that out. As far as the tracks on this album, the standout tracks include Black, Call of the Wild, Future Shock, Ready to Strike, Shadow Thief, and Judgment Day.
Yeah, again, this is one of those groups that, you know, like so many we talk about on this podcast from that era, I just haven't done a good enough job really kind of searching these guys, but I know that when you hear metal people talk about metal bands of the 90s and 2000s, these guys always come up. So yeah, I'm definitely interested in checking this album out and maybe checking out more of their catalog just to kind of get a better idea of everything the Jagdpanzer has done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely check that out. Mike's vault pick for this week. My vault picks, as we mentioned before, we are going through the catalog at Frontiers Records, basically going through letter by letter over a 2-week period. First week, I pick a band and an album has to be released by Frontiers. And then the second week, we put all the bands in a randomizer and we'll pick a band and an album and go from there. We're up to the letter D. This is my pick for the letter D. And we are going to jump into the American hard rock band formed in Queens, New York in 1986. This is Danger Danger with their lone release from Frontiers Records, which was 2009's Revolve. Danger Danger, obviously best known for that initial album released in 1989, the self-titled album. They had two pretty big hits off of that album, Naughty Naughty and Bang Bang. Bang Bang being the bigger of the two hits, charted in the top 50 in the U.S. charts and top 40 in the U.S. main charts. They did have some success with their second album, Screw It, in the UK. Three songs off of that album ended up charting in the UK, did not chart in the United States. But you know, then, you know, they kind of hung around. They had a short period where they weren't active from the thing in 1996 to 97. And then they got back together and they've been together ever since. Although right now it doesn't appear that they're overly active. They did do some shows a couple of years ago. But a couple of their current band members are off with one of their former lead singers with a side project, which was also a Frontiers release. I know that won't shock anybody. But as they stand now, the current band is Bruno Ravel on bass and backing vocals, Steve West on drums and backing vocals. Ted Poley returned as the lead vocalist on this album. He, of course, was their classic vocalist from 1987 to 1993. Rob Marcello on guitar and backing vocals, and Steve Brown on guitar and backing vocals as well. You know, this is one of those things about Frontiers that they put these bands together, they put them back in the studio, and they release these albums that are just really, really good. This is the best thing I've heard this week. If this album had been on the playlist, I would have 100% picked these guys this week. It was coincided with their 20th anniversary of their debut release for Imagine Records back in the day. But another one of those bands that, you know, for whatever reason, really only had kind of the one hit album and a couple of hit songs. But this album really kind of shows that these guys still had the chops to write catchy, entertaining music and be able to put stuff out. It's just a shame that there's not an outlet for this type of music, even back in 2009 when this came out, but certainly today as well. But it's really, really good. If you're a fan of the type of music we talk about on this podcast, if you're a fan of Danger Danger, you probably already know this album, but I encourage everybody to check it out. I thought it was really excellent. The standout tracks on this album were That's What I'm Talking About, and Keep On Keeping On, Never Give Up, and Hearts on the Highway. You know, this is what Frontiers does best, and these guys absolutely nailed it. This whole album is really excellent, and definitely encourage people to check it out. And I guess I'm not shocked, because again, that seems to be the game plan for Frontiers. They put these guys, bands that maybe people have forgotten about, and they put them back in the studio, and they put them on an album, and they release good music again.
Yeah, you know, I remember reviewing their debut album when I was going through kind of the list of glam metal bands, and it was an amazing album. It's one of those bands that I knew the hits, but even beyond the hits, they had a lot of good material on it. So I'm certainly not surprised to hear that even in 2009, I think you said,
yeah,
they're still able to put together something that's that enjoyable. And yeah, that seems to be Frontier's thing, which is not a bad thing either. It scares me because I just think how many albums are out there that they've facilitated that I just either haven't gotten around to or just will never have time to get around to that would probably be really good if I gave them a listen.
Yeah, for sure. And that's part of what this whole vault thing is all about, is trying to find at least some of these albums and dig them up and be able to put a spotlight on them. But yeah, Danger Danger, really great stuff. Hope they kind of get everything going and maybe put something else out, because I would definitely be interested in picking it up. But that takes care of the vault this week. It's time to wrap things up with the Power Trio. It's your weekly hard rock hat trick, where we pick a question and then we give you our top three answers. And again, we encourage you to give us feedback on this. You can give us comments in the YouTube video, in the VOD, or in the live video. You can join the Discord and talk about it on the Discord. We'd love to have your input. You can send a carrier pigeon, like whatever way you want to get that to us. Obviously joining us in the chat on Twitch is a great way to do it. But you know, we try to go through and find some interesting questions every week. And this one, you know, was actually a little more challenging than I thought. I thought I'd be able to come up with three right off the top of my head, and I actually had to sit and think for a minute. These are top three deep cuts, and kind of how we're defining this in this case is these are bands or solo artists that are known for big songs, and it could be a one hit or two hit wonder that maybe this is something else, or it could be a band that has a bunch of big hits and this is a track that for whatever reason wasn't a single, or maybe it was a single but it didn't chart as well, or people just don't talk about it. So that was kind of the goal, is to spotlight songs that people need to know about, and certainly some really good stuff there. As always, I throw it to you. Do we have some Shane picks this week?
Yeah, we do. And it's interesting because he landed on two of the same bands I landed on, but with different songs.
That's fascinating.
The third one is definitely off the beaten path, and it wouldn't be something that I would land on, even though I'm sure it's probably accurate. I can't even really verify that. But number one for Shane was the song Of Wolf and Man from Metallica.
Okay.
Off of their 1991 self-titled Black Album. Obviously, given the amount of hits Metallica's had and certainly how many they have on the Black Album, this one is definitely a deep cut. It's one of the songs that really caught my attention years ago when I first heard the album. I mean, by then, you know, I started getting a Metallica kind of mid-90s, so it wasn't like these were brand new songs. You already knew what the singles and the hits were. Inner Sandman, Unforgiven, Nothing Else Matters, Wherever I May Roam, Sad But True. But this song just... the guitar riff, the chorus, just there's something about it. It stands out. And yeah, I certainly can't blame him for picking it.
No, that's a really good choice. I think that's, again, kind of a hidden track off of there. But one, I think if you're a fan, you really dig that track.
Yeah. So his number two pick, another band that I landed on as well, is the band Queen with the song Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy off their 1976 album, A Day at the Races.
Nice.
That album had Somebody to Love, Tie Your Mother Down on it. So even just within that album, there are certainly bigger hits. And obviously Queen, career-wise, has so many huge songs. It would be, like Metallica, it's easy to find something that maybe didn't land as a hit, but is still a tremendous song.
Yeah, I agree. And I almost went the Queen route, but I thought that might be a really good place for overlap there. Yeah. So I decided to avoid Queen, but a really great choice.
So his number three is one that I can't speak to really all that much because it's not an artist that I'm super familiar with. But he went with Johnny Cash's One Piece at a Time off the 1976 album of the same name. Obviously, I'm not super familiar with his full discography, but, you know, I recognize some of his biggest hits are like I Walk the Line, Ring of Fire, Folsom Prison Blues. So this one being one I'm not really familiar with, I'm willing to assume that it is kind of a deep cut that doesn't get out of the shadow of some of those other hits.
Yeah, that's not one I'm even very familiar with at all, but which I guess makes it a really good choice for a deep
cut.
Because that's not one I really know from him. Interesting stuff. Shane's always got a really, really good, interesting opinion on that. I don't know if Chris is still with us in the chat. I know he's with us earlier, but he's kind of in and out tonight. But I know he posted some picks in our Discord. Again, join the Discord. But what does Chris have for us in the Discord for his three deep cuts this week?
Yeah, so his number one pick is the song Hush from Tool's EP Opiate. I'm not super familiar with that one, and I certainly know the bigger hits from Tool, so I think that is definitely a reasonable choice. His number two pick, we are looking at Between the Wheels, the final track off of Rush's 1984 album Grace Under Pressure. Mm. Again, Rush is another band that has a multitude of hits. Definitely could understand this one kind of maybe not catching the same level of attention as some of their bigger songs.
For sure.
And finally, he has the song from Pearl Jam, Brain of Jay, from their 1998 album, Yield. That album has my favorite Pearl Jam song on it, Do the Evolution. There was a video for it. It was somewhat of a hit, but not to the degree of kind of their stuff prior to that. As far as Brain of Jay, I'm not super familiar with that song, so it would definitely qualify as a deep cut, I think.
Yeah, it's one that I've heard of, but I don't know if I remember the song itself. I'd have to go back and listen to it to see if it's something I actually remember.
Yeah.
But certainly all deep cuts there. But now it's time for your deep cuts. What do you have for us this week?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I did have two overlapping bands with Shane, and they were not Johnny Cash. So the first one is Queen. Not too surprisingly, it is from their 1975 A Night at the Opera album, and it's the Prophet song.
It's a great song. Like, I mean, we could legitimately had three different Queen songs, because I would have probably chosen something like Good Company, because that's also another one. But the Prophet song is a great song, but not really a big hit of theirs either. No. So
yeah, just on that album alone, the singles were You're My Best Friend and Bohemian Rhapsody, and they're iconic. Obviously, if you get any greatest hits from Queen, you're not going to get the Prophet song on it, but you are going to get probably 15 just amazing tracks. This one, though, I think just the heaviness and darkness of the song, while there are other Queen songs that kind of delve that direction, and certainly Bohemian Rhapsody has some dark elements to mm-hmm. it, this one just, like, this feels like proto metal to me. This is like heavy metal getting started, but from Queen, and just a great song.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great track, for sure. A great choice for a deep cut. What's number two?
Yeah, so I also went the Metallica route. Kind of a different direction. I didn't want to go with something from the Black album, so I went instead with their 1997 album Reload and the song Low Man's Lyric.
Oh, wow. It's been forever since I've even heard that song.
But yeah, I think that's part of why. I feel like both Load and Reload get maligned at times. But again, having gotten into Metallica kind of around the time those albums were coming out, even though I listened to, I think, the Black album and then like And Justice for All pretty early on, I still could relate to this kind of alternative metal version of Metallica because it was what was there. It was the Metallica I had. And Reload had some hits, Fuel, Memory Remains, Unforgiven 2. But to me, this song was like thrash era Metallica had Fade to Black. The mainstream metal era Metallica had Nothing Else Matters. To me, this song is this version of Metallica's version of that. It's that slow kind of ballady, like just kind of downtrodden song that I think stands up to some of their best stuff, but it's just so different. And to me, that's why I always looked at that track, even amongst some of the heavier stuff on Reload, as just being really awesome.
Maybe I need to go back and re-listen to Reload. It's been far too long since I've gone through that album.
I mean, I'm sure they'll be doing a remaster of it in a couple of years.
Just wait for that.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll hear, I'm sure we'll hear a few of those songs this weekend for sure. One final pick.
Pick number three. I could have gone so many ways with this, and both with the band I picked and the song I ended up picking from that band. But yeah, this album had a couple hits, had their biggest hit of all time on it. But there were so many songs that I think are better. I went with the band Saigon Kick and the title track from their 1992 album, The Lizard.
Yeah, I mean, that album is just great front to back. But The Lizard may be a little underrated even on that album, because I feel like it doesn't get the attention of some of the other songs, even songs that weren't necessarily hits off of that album. But that's a great track.
Yeah, it's weird to think that I'm picking the title track of an album as the deep cut. Like, that's the title track. They named the whole album after that song title. But, you know, the singles from that album were All I Want and obviously their biggest hit, Love Is On The Way, which are both tremendous songs. But I feel like they did more to betray the rest of the album than anything, because it painted them in this light that some of the other tracks on the album just are so counter to, like, you know, Hostile Youth, obviously The Lizard, Peppermint Tribe. There are just some really heavy songs on that album that have such a great contrast between the heavy guitars and the harmony of the vocals, which to me has always kind of been the hallmark of Saigon Kick and Jason Bieler. This song is amazing, and I feel like it's still that side of their sound has never fully gotten the due it deserves.
Yeah, for sure. We talk about it a lot on this podcast, but it doesn't. Again, another band that got defined by their mega hits instead of what they actually were. But yeah, that's a great track off of a great album. Definitely worth giving that a listen if you haven't. If you only know Saigon Kick from the hits, you're missing out. A lot of really good stuff with them. For my choices, I wanted to pick bands, at least a couple of bands or acts that I talk about a lot in this segment, because, you know, they're really kind of a logical pick for a deep cut. So we're going to start off with Billy Joel. A lot of great Billy Joel stuff. This is a song off the album Turnstiles from 1976, and the song is Summer Highland Falls. It's, you know, that's an album that has some big hits on it. Say Goodbye to Hollywood, New York State of Mind, Angry Young Man, I've Loved These Days, and Miami 2017, all singles off of that album. But one of the ones that wasn't a single was Summer Highland Falls, and it's a very wistful song. You know, the opening line, say that these are not the best of times, but they're the only times I've ever known. Like, you know, it feels like a guy, even in 1976, who's kind of looking back at the success he's had and taking a kind of inventory of where his life is. And, you know, hey, maybe things aren't always so great, but it's all I've got, it's all I know, so let's make the best of it. So really love that song. One of my all-time favorite Billy Joel songs. Another one of my all-time favorite songs, and for some reason the movie came up when I went to look this up on Wikipedia instead
that's
of the
not it.
It was linked from the album, which is really awesome. But it is you know, another Eagles song, and we'll see if we can find the correct link to it. Pretty Maids All in a Row. It is a song sung off of it's off the Hotel California album. Obviously, that album has so many hit songs. Hotel California, obviously, Life in the Fast Lane, New Kid in Town, Waste of Time, The Last Resort, which is, as I've mentioned, one of my all time favorites. But Pretty Maids All in a Row was not a single. It does occasionally show up on some of their greatest hit stuff. It's a Joe Walsh song, and I think sometimes those are the songs that kind of fall through the cracks when it comes to the Eagles. It's just a great song, and it's another song, kind of a wistful song, you know, talking about, you know, people growing up. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's just a really enjoyable song. It's one of those songs that made me really appreciate Joe Walsh. I think sometimes his voice and maybe he didn't have the same, you know, sound as some of the other singers in the Eagles, but I think that was one of those songs that kind of made me really appreciate him. And I know that's a song you enjoy as well.
Like, yeah, absolutely. I think Joe Walsh is probably underrated for his contributions in the Eagles in general. All the songs he sings, I tend to really enjoy. And it just, he had such a different sound. I think it was much needed as far as providing some contrast to the band when he joined up. Yeah, it's easy to get lost on the Hotel California album.
Yeah, for sure. And that one did kind of slip in there. Last one was one I just recently heard, and it's why it jogged my memory, but it is definitely one that was not a single. We're going to jump to the band Night Ranger off of their album Man in Motion. This is the song Restless Kind off of that album. It is one that does show up on some of their greatest hits, but it was not a single. And in fact, when you look at this album, this album was rough. Like, no, I mean, obviously, I'm sure it was a quality album, but as far as like singles, there aren't any. As far as like ones you would know, the two that were released as singles were I Did It for Love and Don't Start Thinking. This was right before the band broke up, temporarily at least. Jack Blades left. And so you just kind of felt like maybe this was the moment where it was a time for them to take a break from what they were doing. But Restless Kind kind of hides at the end of side one here. And it's just got a great sound to it. It's one of the songs off their greatest hits that really, like I said, wasn't a single, but it's one of my favorite Night Ranger songs. And so I wanted to kind of shout that one out this week.
It's kind of wild to see Russ Ballard wrote one of the songs on that album. He just had an album come out that was on the list this week, which what I heard was decent.
Yeah.
Again, you're talking about like people who are just really good songwriters between, you know, your first pick, Billy Joel, and obviously Jack Blades here and any number of members of the Eagles. So it's not surprising, you know, they're not all going to be hits, but that doesn't the way the industry works doesn't necessarily mean the best songs become the hits.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you know, there's clearly like in both cases, some recognition that maybe they should have been hits when they eventually do show up on some of the best, you know, greatest hits collections, or they do them live like, oops, we messed up. This probably should have been a single and we just didn't do that. Yeah. But great stuff. A lot of great deep cuts. So let us know what your deep cuts are. Again, a lot of ways to talk with us in the chat. Join us live. You can join the Discord. Stop by. Let us know what your deep cuts are and let us know what you think of our deep cut picks. A lot of really good stuff this week. But it is time to wrap up this edition of the Hard Rock Empire for another week. We appreciate you joining us once again. We will not be here next weekend. Again, Sonic Temple, we'll tell you all about it when we get back. But again, in 2 weeks, we'll have another double shot of the Hard Rock Empire, where we'll talk the music of April the 25th, and then we'll get into the month of May during our regularly scheduled episode 2 weeks from tonight. Big thanks for Chris joining us tonight in the chat. A big thanks to Stove Lake Media for their continued support. Big thanks to Mike for all of his research and all of his work putting this podcast together. And a big thanks to you for joining us whenever and wherever you may be joining us again. We'll be back soon. Short hiatus coming up with stuff going on, but we'll be back soon here on the Nerdcast Empire. But until then, for Mike and the rest of the crew, I'm Matt saying so long. Don't forget to join the Empire, the Nerdcast Empire.